Well, go tell it. We all can do that, can't we? That's a peppy song. That's an upbeat song. I like that. All right. Well, this is our second part of our message in God's Grace Will Overcome, part two. And Zechariah chapter 4, 1 through 7. If you can find Zechariah, Haggai, and then Malachi is the one at the end, you're right there on Zechariah chapter 4. It's in the Old Testament, towards the back of the 39 chapters of of the New Old Testament. Each day or in our life, God provides or calls us to do a task for Him. And we're going to find again in the second part of this message that God called upon Zebernot to build the temple. It had been destroyed. This is the second time to rebuild it. And so he was fearful of being able to do that. But God entrusted him and gave him the grace to complete this task. So, join with me again, and let's look at chapter 4. And I'll read seven verses again to give us a vision or insight of what God is talking about. And this particular chapter deals with the golden lampstand and the olive trees. They're also mentioned in Revelation of the coming prophecy of the things that will take place. So, beginning with verse 1. Then the angel who was speaking with me returned and awakened me. As a man who is wakened from his sleep, he said to me, "What do you see?" And Zerubbabel said, "I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with its bowl on top of it, and its seven lampstands on it with seven sprouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on the top of it. Also two olive trees by it, one at the right side and of the bowl and other on its left side." Then I said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" Zerubbabel said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Behold, Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with sprouts of grace to it." So again, to refresh our memory from last week, this message this morning, we're going to look at the grace to overcome life's what I call daily challenges. We each have daily challenges, and sometimes we forget who to go to for those challenges. And again, I'd like to read that last verse 6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So Zechariah, you think about it, he was one of the prophets. God chose to speak a message through him, and he speaks through us today. He speaks to us when he wants a particular message passed on from us to someone else. And sometimes that message is clear, and sometimes we just have to sit down and say, Lord, give me some wisdom in understanding how to deal with this situation or how to speak to people and to share what's on my heart, because sometimes people need to know what's on our heart and how we can help them in various situations. So Zechariah presents a vision of a lampstand with oil supplied directly from two olive trees. And these are very significant. Jesus talked about the olive trees and how their significance in comparison with Israel and their disobedience and so forth. So there's a significance symbolizing the Holy Spirit's role in God's work. And sometimes we get symbolisms mixed up and we don't always understand them. But they are very clear when you get into the Word of God and understand them from God's perspective, what the meanings are of that time and what it means for us today. So the vision is a message to Zerubbabel, the leader of the rebuilding of the temple, emphasizing God's work will be accomplished not by human might, power, but by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is in control. It's God's Spirit. And he sent it to us when Jesus ascended back to the Father. And the Holy Spirit has always existed, always been at work, always at work. And that's what the Lord of hosts was talking to the messenger to Zechariah here. So going back to this vision also includes the cleansing of Joshua. Joshua was a part of this heir. And he was at this time a high priest, indicating that day is coming when Israel will be forgiven and will be cleansed. At this point in time, the temple was being rebuilt, restored. So this was very significant. And this chapter serves what I call as a reassurance to Zerubbabel, and he was a governor at this time, of the people of Israel, that they will provide resources and guidance to complete the temple's building. Now, thinking about faith. Faith comes from a hearing, and hearing by the word of truth or by the word of God. So faith that calls down grace is demonstrated when we, think about this, when we acknowledge before God that we can't make it on our own. If we've ever tried, we know we fail tremendously. But we believe in faith that God is the only one who can get us through each day, can get us through each task, or whatever we are confronted with in life. We must go to God. I'm very dependent upon God in my life every day. And I know you are too. So when we do this, think about it. God will overcome our present troubles by his grace. So, first of all, tending the flame by works. You know, we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. But our works prove our faith, according to Ephesians chapter 2. So, Zechariah, the prophet, God's messenger, had a vision in which he saw a lampstand. Ezekiel, you know, and all the prophets, even in the New Testament, John was able to see into heaven what God wanted him to see so that he could go back, or while he was here on earth, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, write about it in Revelations about all the symbolisms and things that was to come according to the prophecies and when Christ comes back again. So here is a symbolism of what God was wanting Zechariah to pass on to the Israelites, Zerubbabel, the leader, to give them the courage, knowing that by God's grace, they would rebuild the temple and go on with their life, because they had become stalemated and come complacent because they was discouraged and so forth. And we get discouraged, don't we, in life when we don't see things happening our way. But that's not God's, always God's plan. It's not our way. It's always God's way. So the seven arms were attached to the two bowls which sat on top of the lampstand, according to the scriptures, and the oil was poured into the bowls, which trickled down through the arm in order to fuel the lamps. And that's in verse 2. Now, it takes olive oil, to fuel the lamps. And the priest, which was at that time was Joshua, would have continually go in and go out of the temple, refilling and maintaining the lampstand so that the flames would remain burning. This was very important. This was signifying the very presence of God, just like the very presence of God in our services. When we meet or wherever we go, we know the presence of God with us. But this is very significant, so they would know that God's grace was going to prevail because he was always with them. And the light represented God's presence, and it wasn't allowed to die out. That flame was not to go out. So when our flame goes out, what happens? You know, nothing's happening. That's what. Nothing is happening. And that was not allowed. The priest was responsible for keeping the oil, the olive oil in the lamp, so the flame would continually be burning. Very significant in the presence of God, in the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So this activity of going in and going out, as the scripture said, by the priest, represented human effort. And it shows that anything done through man's effort is bound to die out and of the unattended flame. So trying to clarify this a little bit, I was trying to think what would be a good illustration of this, of trying to do stuff on our own power rather depending upon God. I want to consider the following illustration that contrasts a difference between human effort and God's grace. So, the believer who seeks to live a Christian life through self-effort is like a man who is attempting to sail across the Atlantic Ocean in a boat. He found himself moving or not going anywhere. All his efforts. So finally, frustrated by his lack of progress, he tried to make his stale boat move by pushing against the mast. Have you ever been in a sailboat? And you know the mast that where the flag or the sails go and so forth. Now you think you're going to get anywhere by pushing against the mast itself? It's not going to happen. Through sternest efforts, he succeeded in making the boat rock and so created a small wave on the other side of the smooth sea. And seeing the waves and feeling the rocking of the boat, he assumed he was making progress and continued his efforts of pushing on the mast. Of course, you know what happened. Although he exerted himself a great deal, he was going nowhere. So it is with the Christian life. The source of Christian strength lies in the grace of God, not in our exertion or our own willpower or our efforts or of our own discipline or anything else of self-effort. So, our own efforts can't help in overcoming problems or challenges. We are so dependent upon God. Yesterday, I was out in the yard and doing some things, and I had my keys, barn keys, in my pocket, and I pulled them out to get into the barn, and all of a sudden I saw a stick laying right there, so I picked it up and picked up that stick with the same hand that had the keys, and I slung it. Well, guess what? Not only did I sling the stick, but the keys was with it. I said, oh my. Brenda comes out and said, what you doing down there? I said, I'm looking for my keys. And I looked and I looked and looked, and I said, oh, I forgot something. Lord, you know where those keys are. But I slung it pretty hard. And I looked that whole area over. And within 30 seconds, I found them. Lord, I was trying to do it on my own effort. It was my mistake, my foolishness to do something silly like that. And only you know where they are. And only you can take me to them. And within 30 seconds, I found them. And Brenda said, did you find your keys? I did, but not with my own effort. God saw me through that task. Oh, my goodness. And we're supposed to be what I call the light of the world, right? And according to Matthew chapter 5:14, however, self-effort would dim our light and possibly douse out our flame if we do not depend upon the grace of God. What a message this is for us in any activity or any task as a church, as a family of God, as an individual, to try to take on anything without the Spirit of God or the grace of God. Next, tending the flame by grace. And this is what it's all about. We also read that there were two olive trees on either side of the boats. And you wouldn't normally find olive trees attached to a lampstand. However, the olive trees represented something we shouldn't miss. And it took me some praying and interpreting of this scripture to understand what this meant. The trees were tied directly to the lamp. If you can visualize this. And because the oil was being pumped directly in, there was a continuous supply of oil to the flame. And this means that the priest no longer had to tend the flame. Now, this vision represents the ushering of God's grace. If you can visualize that. And that's what God was sending to Zechariah to pass on to the people who had become so discouraged because of their temple being destroyed, even the second time, and trying to muster up the effort on their own to rebuild it, they got discouraged. They went home, attended to their own stuff rather than God's temple. And then this when God sent the message through Zechariah to Zerubbabel to get the people to be focused back on the vision that he had placed in their lives and the temple where they worshiped, it would be rebuilt. And it revealed a time in which believers would no longer have to work for salvation, talking about the Israelites, talking about us, and be unable to attend. And a time in which believers would no longer have to work at a task or fail through their own inability. It's because of God's grace. So once we tap into the life-giving flow of grace, grace has been extended to us. And that's the only way that we can be saved is through grace, through faith, which comes by the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord will continue to pump His grace into our lives. Now you think about that. It's simple as that, but sometimes we make it so hard. And I want you to think about it this way as well. Neither the devil nor any other person or thing will be able to steal His grace or douse it out at any time. It won't happen. So we read how this vision of the lampstand was the word delivered to Zerubbabel in verse 6. And it was the word delivered to a man who had impossible task before him. That was Zerubbabel. But Zechariah, he encouraged him. And it's the word a Christian today, you and me, who feel overwhelmed by any life situation. If God's in it, it's going to happen. Amen? Anything, our life, physically, emotionally, or spiritual, it's going to happen. God's in it. So what's the conclusion of this message? The word is this. We don't have to fail if we lean on God and attempt the impossible. We have to attempt it. And trust Him that we will overcome through God's grace. And we can look at any mountain as it was mentioned. So look at the mountain. Zechariah said, was told by God, look at the mountain, set before us, and declare, who are you? Zechariah said, who are you, O great mountain? Verse 7, through God's help, you will be leveled out as a plain before me. See, that's what grace does. That's what God does. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we read that by God's grace, the temple would be completed and final. And it would be the capstone, as verse 7 said, and it would be placed right on the top, showing that nothing is impossible with God's grace. And you know, as I was thinking about this message and looking at this, I was thinking about our cabin. Amen? How many years has it been since we was wanting to get this cabin built? And I've heard so many said, God's in it, it will be done. Amen, Dennis? Amen. And And I know probably many of us got discouraged and wondering, are we ever going to get that cabin built? I mean, it's been years, years. We've been saving up for it, putting into a fund, and so forth. And now we've seen it started, we've seen it under roof, and now we're going to finish it out inside. And I was thinking about it, it's cause of God's grace, and it will happen. Not on our effort, but in God's timing. See, this has been in God's timing. Maybe it's a test for every one of us to see where our faith is. See where, how God is going to work. And see the blessings that's going to come from all of this, of our waiting and anticipating that God is always at work. No matter what we're thinking, or no matter how we feel, or how extreme the task is, God will see it through. Now, I just wanted to use that as an example to this scripture this morning, because it was years and years for them to get this task accomplished. And God said, through my grace, it will happen. And they had to have faith. Zechariah passed that message on to Zerubbabel, which he thought it was an impossible task. But God saw it through. It did get rebuilt. So nothing is impossible with God's grace. Always remember that. Never forget that. Don't forget about how powerful God is. If he created this world and everything that you see that's visible to you, by speaking it, nothing is impossible but God's grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. And Lord, these messages speak loudly and clear to each one of us. And we need to be reminded of your grace. And even in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that in the right time, you extend your grace and mercy. It always prevails. May we never forget that. And Lord, you provide salvation for each one of us, for the whole world. And it's through faith and by grace that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, that all mankind can be saved and have eternal life. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that, as the scripture said this morning, you're slow to anger. And in our foolishness and our lack of abilities to do a lot of things, Lord, nothing's impossible with you. Whatever is on our heart and mind this morning as we enter these doors, Lord, you maybe have laid it to rest this morning as we have leaned on you and sought your guidance and yielded our life to you, realizing, Lord, that you're in control of all things, this world, our lives, our families, Lord, the task you've called us to. And because of your grace, Lord, we're here this day. And Lord, I pray, whatever decision you've laid upon our heart, that we won't let it just lay to rest, but we'll take action and move in your direction. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, in this invitation that your will be done, not ours, that we will accept your invitation with gladness of heart, and then we will see the blessing from it. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.